أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we will look at the tafsir and explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 255, Ayat Al-Kursi. Ayat Al-Kursi. What is the virtue, significance, and importance of this ayah? It is called Ayat al-Kursi because of mention of Kursi as Wasiya Kursiyuhu as-samawati wal-ard. Because of this mention, this is called Ayat al-Kursi. This ayah is of great distinction. Once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked a companion, Ubay bin Ka'b, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, which verse of Kitabullah is the most noble ayah? Ubay said, Allah and His Messenger know better. Then when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him again, then Ubay responded and said, Ayat al-Kursi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Munzir, may Allah bless your knowledge. I swear by Allah, in whose hand is my life. It will have a tongue and lips, and will glorify and magnify Allah on the Day of Judgment. It will be attached to the throne of Allah. This is a Musnad Ahmad narration. Also, in Sahih Muslim, it is mentioned, Ubay bin Ka'b narrates, I had a bag of dates in my possession. Every day, I noticed the dates getting depleted. One night, I stayed awake to guard the bag. I saw an animal in form of a young man who came. I greeted him with salam, and he greeted me back. I asked him, are you a man or a jinn? He said, I am a jinn. I asked him to extend out his hand, and when he extended his hand, I saw a head of a dog and hair like dogs. I asked him, are the jinn born like this? He said, among the jinn, I am the most powerful. I asked him, how did you dare to steal my dates? He said, I know you like to give charity. Then I thought, why should I remain deprived? I asked him, what will save me from your evil? He said, recite Ayat al-Kursi. So in the morning, when I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I narrated the entire event of the night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one wretched has said the truth. He was shaytan. He came to steal from you. So what did we learn from these two ahadith? Firstly, on the Day of Judgment, this ayah will have a tongue, it will have lips, and it will glorify and magnify Allah, and it will be attached to the leg of the throne of Allah. So whoever recites it in this world, it will intercede for them on the Day of Judgment. This is the most noble ayah. We learn of its benefit in the hereafter, but in this world, it is a means of protection. It guards wealth, even shayateen, from men and jinn. The one we learned in the narration had come to steal from the property or belongings, and no other need of guard is mentioned except Ayat al-Kursi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith of Musnad Ahmad, narrated that once he asked a companion, did you do nikah? He said, I do not have enough wealth to do so, because he could not pay the mahar, the dowry required from the men. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you remember Qul huwallahu ahad? He said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, this is equal to 1/4 of the Quran. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, do you remember? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ He said, yes, I remember that too. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This too is 1/4 Quran." Then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Do you remember Surah Zilzal?" The companion said, "Yes." Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is another 1/4 of the Quran." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you remember Surah An-Nasr?" "Iza jaa nasrullah?" The companion said, "Yes, I do remember it." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is also 1/4 Quran." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Do you remember Ayat al-Kursi?" He said, "Yes." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is another 1/4 of Quran." So we learn Ayat al-Kursi is worth 1/4 of the Quran. We learn about its reward. Not that we should just recite Ayat al-Kursi 4 times and the rite of the entire Quran being read is done. No. But in its recitation, one gets this much reward. In another narration from Abu Ayyub Ansari, another companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that from the treasury, a jinn would come and steal from it. So I complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "When you see it, then say Bismillahi ujibu Rasulullah." So Abu Ayyub said, "I did as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. With the name of Allah, I take you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So the jinn made an excuse and he left. Then when Abu Ayyub went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, "What did your prisoner do?" Abu Ayyub stated, "I had captured him, but he promised not to ever return, so I let him go." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He will come again." So Abu Ayyub Ansari narrated that he caught him 2 or 3 more times, but he let him go because every time he would make an excuse that he would not return again. Abu Ayyub said, "Whenever I mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say he will come again. Then for the last time, I said to him, 'I will not let you go.' So he said, 'Let me go. I will tell you of something because of which no jinn or man would come to you.'" Abu Ayyub asked what it was. He said it was Ayat al-Kursi. Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned this to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 'Although he is a liar, he spoke the truth about this.'" In a similar hadith in Bukhari, Abu Huraira was guarding the zakah collected in Ramadan. One night, the shaitan came and started gathering the goods in his cloth. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu caught him, but he escaped, and every night he would come for a number of days. The third time, he told Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that if you recite this ayah at bedtime, then from Allah a guard would be appointed, so no shaitan would come near you until morning. This is a Bukhari hadith. The Prophet ﷺ stated that in Surah Al-Baqarah, there is an ayah which is the chief of all the ayahs of the Quran. In whichever home it is recited, the shaitan runs away from it. And this is Ayat al-Kursi. If there are conflicts, arguments, and clashes at home, either between a husband or a wife, or a mother getting constantly angry towards kids, or constant conflicts, that means there are some evil forces at play that cause the strife. For this, we have a gift of Ayat al-Kursi. In another hadith, in Tirmidhi, everything has a peak, and the peak of Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah, and in it, Ayat al-Kursi is the chief or pinnacle of all the ayahs. In reference to this, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had asked, "Which was the most noble ayah of the Quran?" Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I am aware, as I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this ayah is Ayatul Kursi. Also, from a hadith, we learn about Ismi Azam. Ismi Azam is the great name or names of Allah, which when recited, invoke the mercy of Allah. And when any believer or Muslim who calls unto Allah with this name or names of Allah, the du'as are accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the caller what he or she requests. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell us which of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is Ismi Azam. In hadith, we learn that the Ismi Azam, by which due to its blessings, whatever du'a or prayer is made is accepted, is in three surahs. This great name or names of Allah are mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, and Surah Taha. May Allah have mercy on those who have researched which name of Allah is present in all three of these surahs. It is understood that it could be Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. So the majority of Mufassireen, the scholars of the Quran, say Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum is in this Ayatul Kursi, and it is the Ismi Azam. In another hadith, Ibn Mardaway states that whoever after the Fard Salah recites Ayatul Kursi, nothing can prevent them from entering Jannah except death. So when one finishes their Fard Salah with their salam, without speaking to anyone, they should recite Ayatul Kursi. What is in this ayah? It contains introduction of Allah. In it are 10 separate words which give us a recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in this world, whoever we love immensely, it can be our parents, and if they have passed away and if someone asks about them, we would talk about them so much, endlessly. But how is it that if anyone asks us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know what to say about him? Inshallah, today, after we learn this ayah and learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can tell other people, who is my Allah? He is described in this ayah. So we begin with this ayah, who is Allah? So as we go over each name and attribute of Allah, say it as Allahu la ilaha illahu. Then say it as Allahu al-hayyul qayyum. Then Allahu la ta'khuzuhu sinatan wala nawm. Allah is one besides whom there is no other ilah. Allah is one who is ever living. Allah is one who doesn't get overtaken by drowsiness nor sleep. Allah is one for whom is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. Allah is who no one can dare to intercede for anyone except with his permission. Allah is who knows what is in front and what is behind us. So the word Allah, if we think of when we teach kids, subject and predicate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the subject and his description are the predicates which are in the entire ayah. What is his first attribute? Allah, who is he? La ilaha illahu. There is no deity except him. This negates presence of any other deity, Lord, or anyone else worthy of worship. If we just look at La ilaha, there is no other God or deity, whoever else mankind worships other than Allah, such as idols or shayateen, from all others that are worshipped, no one is a true God or ilah. This eliminates and negates belief and worship of anyone else. There is no ilah or God except He, illa huwa, only one who is the true God or ilah. It could have said Allahu ilahun, that Allah is God or ilah. But instead, we are told to say la ilaha. First, all other ilahs or gods or objects of worship are negated. This is a must to realize and believe that there is no one else who can be ilah or God. Then believe and realize that Allah is the only ilah. If we only say Allahu ilahun, it is possible that we believe Allah is ilah, na'udhu billah, and so-and-so else is also ilah, or so-and-so prophet is ilah, na'udhu billah. So it could also mean Allah is ilah, then Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are also ilahs, as people believe. But when one says, La ilaha illallah, the X of La crosses out the presence of all other ilahs or gods. So this way, we are testifying to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Some say even the word Allah was from Al-Ilah, the removal of middle Alif made Allah. The word Allah is such a great word. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's personal name. We learn about the names of Allah that are His attributes. While this is His personal name, we learn that whatever names begin with Al, when called, begin with Ya Ayyuha, as Ya Ayyuha Alladhina Amanu, Ya Ayyuha Rasul, Ya Ayyuha Nabi, begin with Al, such as Ar Rasul, An Nabi. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called, it is called by Ya Allah, not Ya Ayyuhallah. And every letter of the word Allah is such that even if one letter is removed, the meaning doesn't change. While if even one letter of any other word is removed, for example, Jamilun, if we remove Jim, it will become Mail and it will have an opposite meaning. But in word Allah, for example, if Alif is removed, it becomes Lillah. Lillahi, as in Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. If we remove Al, Alif Lam, it becomes Lahu. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. And if we remove Alif and the Lams, and only who remains, then huwallahu allazi la ilaha illa hu, then still remains as Allah. Allah is one whose even name is so great. He is one, besides Him there is no other ilah. Who is ilah? One who is worshipped. About worship, we learned in the tafsir of Iyyaka Na'budu, there are two components in ibadah. Two things are a must. The first thing is obedience, which is called ita'at. The second is love and devotion. As some people worship Allah, pray and fast, but they do not obey Him, while some worship Him, but do not love Him. This is La ilaha illallah huwa. This kalima is a message due to which the kuffar became the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ. Because they did not want to obey, they had no problem in bowing in prostration to Him. But as they prostrated to idols, so they would prostrate to Allah too. But the problem was in their obedience. They just did not want to obey. Allah is one who is deserving to be worshipped. and want to be obeyed and want to be loved with devotion. When we say La ilaha illallah, we are saying that there is no one worthy of obedience except He. No one is worthy of extreme love except He. If we look at the beginning of the 20th juz, أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً, ask them, who is one who created the heavens and the earth, and who sent down from the sky rain? Then who grew the lush green gardens? You could never grow the trees of these gardens. Then are there other gods besides Allah? Rather, these people are removed from the straight way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, the earth they live upon, which He made stable, and made rivers flow in it, and made mountains, and made a barrier between the two seas. Are there other gods besides Allah? Who can do this? بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Rather, most of them do not know anything. And another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Who is one who responds to the call of the distressed and accepts and removes the difficulty and makes you inheritors of the earth? أَإِلَاهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهِ. Are there any other ilahs besides Allah? قَلِيلًا مَّا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Very little of what you remember. Is one who guides you in the darknesses of the land and sea, and sends winds heralding good news before the mercy of Allah reaches you. أَإِلَاهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهِ. Are there any other ilahs besides Allah who can do this? تَعَالَى اللَّهُ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah is exalted from whatever they ascribe as partners unto Him. Is one who creates the creation in the first, then repeats it, and who provides sustenance for you from the skies and earth. أَإِلَاهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهُ. Are there any other ilahs besides Allah? قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْحَانَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say to them, bring your proof if there are any other ilahs besides Allah, if you are truthful. Bring your proof. He is who is the master of the great throne. He is Lord and master of the heavens. He is Lord of Jibril and Mikael. He is the Lord of winds, Lord of the skies. That is a roof upon us. He is the Lord and master of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. مَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And no one knows of His forces except He. He alone is the Lord or master of everything. And He has no minister, no secretary, no one to advise Him. He has no guards, nor an army, nor bodyguards. He is pure and free from limitations of time and space. He doesn't come to any place, nor restricted to any time. He is free from having a past, present, and future. He is free from need of heaven, hell, throne, kursi. He doesn't need them. He says, Qul huwallahu ahad. Tell my slaves, O Prophet, that Allah is ahad. It doesn't mean one, but unique, only, and no one else like Him. Because if it said one, then it could mean someone else. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states Ahad, it means the one alone. That means there is no other. He is alone, eternal, unique, and no one like Him. He has no relations. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قَتْمِيرٍ. All others, people worship besides Him. They are not even owners of kitmir. What is kitmir? If we look at the seed of a date, the thin white covering upon the seed, is called a kitmir, as no one even regards the pits, but those they worship besides Allah, they do not even own as much as a thread on the date pit. The one who sustains the universe is the only ilah. There is no one with him in partnership. We pride in ownership of certain things of this world, but even this ownership is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is temporary. In reality, man is not even owner of anything. Everything is given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only ilah is he alone. Everything in the universe displays that their only master is Allah alone. If there were multiple or even two gods, this universe would not be in such harmony. The second matter of recognition of Allah is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. He was alive eternally, and he is the one who sustains and maintains all that exists. A person can only put his trust on one who is living. This quality is only for Allah. He is Al-Hayy, the ever-living, the eternal. We cannot say this for any angel nor any prophet, that they are alive. This is the unique quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no beginning. He is free from having a beginning. This is something our intellect cannot truly comprehend. To think of billions, trillions of years, no matter how far we go back, when did he begin to exist? He always was. We cannot truly understand this quality of Al-Hayy, because our intellect cannot think of anything without a beginning. He existed always and will exist eternally. We cannot define any time for him. He is beyond limits and restrictions of time. There is no time for him. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, there is no time. While for us in this life, there is time. What happens? Whatever that exists with us declines with time. A child that is born, as time passes, he faces passing of time. His age increases, and he is getting older. If we look at anything living or non-living, everything, time makes it old. Time takes it toward its death. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who is free from restrictions of time. He is Al-Hayy. As a poet said, you come in the heart, but not in understanding. I realize this is your recognition. Our intellects cannot understand him. And then the attribute of Allah, Al-Qayyum, one who sustains and maintains the entire creation. How is a creation surviving? Everything that is alive is maintained with his command. Even if we are alive, how is our living? He is maintaining and sustaining us. The earth that revolves and rotates, it is because he has maintained it in his condition. Because of his attribute, Al-Qayyum, all that exists is sustained and maintained by him. Whatever creation there is in the universe, it is sustained due to this attribute. These two qualities cannot be possessed by anyone. If we look at ourselves, yes, we are alive. But we cannot say we are Al-Hayy. No, not at all. What is the condition of our living? If we don't eat food for 2 to 3 days, we will die. Even if we cannot sleep, we will die. People cannot live even without sleep. So sleep is needed. And if a person gets sick, they can die if they are not cured or treated. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all these needs, His life is not dependent upon anything, nor given to him by anyone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us life, we didn't become alive from our own selves. The day he decrees he will take this life back from us, we had no intervention in coming into this world, nor in leaving this world. This is not for Allah. No one gave him his life. It is his own. All his attributes are his. He possesses all his attributes. These two attributes of Allah, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, such beautiful attributes. People call onto Allah, making dua with these attributes. As in a dua, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyumu, Bi Rahmatika Astaghees. O ever-living, sustainer of all that exists, I beseech on you for your mercy. These are such attributes of Allah. If one wants to make dua, should make dua with these names. Because if these indeed are Ismi Azam, it is highly likely that the du'as will be accepted. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated that in Ghazwa al-Badr, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam straightened our rows and prepared us for the battle. And then he fell in prostration and in a loud, audible voice called unto Allah, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyumu. Ali radiallahu ta'ala stated that after fighting in the battle, I returned back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I found him still in prostration, saying Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyumu in an audible voice. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, before this time, we didn't find a harder time upon Islam, and no other time that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invoked Allah in such a way as that day. From this, we can consider that Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyumu is the Ismi Azam, as the Prophet ﷺ called on to Allah with these attributes. Recently, a Muhaddith of Syria, who was given a death sentence, escaped from jail and reached Egypt. There, he sought shelter from the Saudi government and came to Saudi Arabia. Another scholar narrated that he was teaching hadith with me. Once him and I were climbing the stairs together, he lost his breath, and then, when we learned that he had problem with asthma, I asked him, how is it that you escaped from a jail but cannot climb these stairs? How did you escape? He said, I didn't break jail. I was making three du'as profusely, and it was as if the doors of jail opened by themselves. One was, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyumu. I would make this dua, crying profusely, O Allah, grant me a longer life, so I can do the work of Deen. And the second thing I would recite is, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. A lot. And then, the third dua of Surah An-Naml, Ayah 62. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دُعَاءَهُ as mentioned previously. He said, the guardians of jail told me to run away. We are letting you go. So even the experience of some people teach us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his help. One point to remember is that no one should say that in hadith it says to recite this way and this many times. When the Prophet ﷺ didn't state anything in this regard, we cannot say from ourselves that if one recites it in a specific way and a certain number of times, we will get this outcome. This is not in any hadith. So we cannot make it from our own selves. But we can say, I have recited it this way, as I just mentioned, how he recited this in sajda. Not a hadith, so we cannot call it a hadith. We can call it our own experience, nor we can call it a sunnah. One can call on Allah with these names, but cannot say, read it after salah, as in such and such hadith, then this is not correct. Allahu la ta'khuzuhu sinatan wala nawm. Allah is one upon whom no drowsiness nor sleep overtake him. He is free and pure from drowsiness and sleep. What are sleep and drowsiness? It is said that sleep is a sister of death. Therefore, we recite the dua when we wake up in the morning. Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. Thanks to Allah who gave us life after our death. As we didn't raise up from our death, but sleep. But Allah is one who is pure from sleep. He is pure from drowsiness. He doesn't even feel drowsiness. What is in drowsiness? When a person feels tired and sleepy, while the mind is awake, this is the state of sina. While in sleep, a person is not conscious. The first stage of sleep is sina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't get overtaken even by that. Because if, na'udhu billah, a god needs to sleep, what would happen to his creation? From this, we learn that whenever we call Allah, night or day, any time, even if a child calls his mother once or twice, a mother will get frustrated. I will tell the child, don't call on me again. I'm tired. If she didn't sleep well at night, even when the relation of a mother that is so sympathetic will not get up for a child. But Allah is one who, if we call him all night and all day, and the next night and the next, he never sleeps. His doors are always open. He never becomes unaware or heedless, as a person in sleep does. He always hears. While people call onto those who need to sleep and become heedless, they go to them. While one should only call unto one for whom there is no drowsiness nor sleep. The Prophet ﷺ once told his companions four things. First, that Allah is free from drowsiness and sleep. They are not for Allah. Number two, He is the protector of scales. For whom He wills, He can lower them. From whom He wills, He can raise them or not lower them. Thirdly, and the deeds of the day are brought to Him before the night, and the deeds of night are brought to Him before the next day. And the fourth matter, which is, He said, in front of Him are veils of light and fire. If they are removed, the rays of the light will burn all things His sight reaches. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in front of Him are veils of light. We cannot understand what this reality is. We cannot truly know. Allah is free from need of sleep and drowsiness. In one Isra'ili riwayah, which we will look at just to understand, Musa alayhi salam asked the angels, does Allah sleep? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did wahi to the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to keep Musa alayhi salam awake for 3 nights. The angels did that and did not let Musa sleep for 3 nights. After that, they gave him 2 bottles to hold, one in each of his hand, and was told to hold on to them. And they were told that they should not fall nor break. Then Musa alayhi salam took hold of them, since he had been awake for so many nights, and he felt drowsy, his eyes would start to close, then he would become alert again. Eventually, he dozed off, and the bottles fell and broke. Then he was told, if one drowsy person could not hold on to 2 bottles, and if Allah sleeps, how will heavens and earth be safe? Not a speck of creation is without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. If he sleeps, how would he know what anyone is doing? While he is aware of each and everything, everything is in his guardianship. How can he maintain everything? Everything is interrelated. He is Qayyum. That's why he can sustain, maintain everything. He doesn't sleep. If we look at the lahuzu, hu sinatun wala naum, not is mentioned for both drowsiness and sleep. If it only said la once, it could mean they both do not occur or come together, but could come separately. So when not comes for both, it means he does not get drowsy nor sleeps. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. For him is whatever is that is in the heavens and the earth. Whatever and wherever it is that is in the heavens and the earth, either dead or living, are for him. What does for him mean? It means under his ownership, his authority. Everything is his. For whom belongs everything? As in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask them, whose earth is this? Then responds himself by saying, they will say, Allah's. Then Allah says, ask them, whose skies and heavens is this? They will say, Allah's. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, don't they ponder? Then don't they remember Allah? Then they don't feel shy that while living upon his earth, they disobey him. Everything belongs to him, whatever we are using, even if we use our eyes or anything of our body, ears, hands, feet, the sky, the stars, the trees, everything belongs to him. We live upon his earth. Then we question why and say we will not do this and that. We are free. While if anyone comes into our house and starts doing whatever they want without our permission, will we allow it or tolerate it? No. We use this earth, which is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything else in it, all owned by him. We use it, then we don't feel shy to oppose him. It is only his mercy that he doesn't grasp us. Otherwise, the way we live in this earth, if it were not his mercy, the doors of punishment would have been opened long ago. We say with our tongue when we are asked whose earth it is, we say it is Allah's, but do not believe with conviction in our hearts. He is so great. While we get impressed with someone with a flagged car or whoever owns a mansion or a farm, while no one owns a city, not even a country, if no one owns even a country, how can they own the entire earth? He owns everything. We get so impressed with people, even if we see a lady wearing jewelry or fancy clothes. Then we get terrified when we get stopped by a police car. We get scared of other people who have a temporary small amount of authority, while they do not have authority over anyone's life or death, nor can they give honor to us, nor even benefit us in any way. Even then, we feel so awed or fear. While we say, Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, but do not fear the master of the universe. We feel fear from those who will perish. This is because we have not recognized Allah truly. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا قَدَرَ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, we did not estimate his true value. The one most worthy to know about is our master. we live somewhere in his heavens and earth, and we too belong to him, but we do not recognize him. Can we find anyone else like him in the universe? No. Then how can we leave him and wander anywhere else? If we truly contemplate how he owns everything, upon this earth and everything in it are in his ownership and authority. He can give to whom he wants, and whom he wants can take anything back. No one can question him. He can honor whom he wills. He can dishonor whom he wills. No one can question him. It is a matter of our own ignorance if we don't care to recognize our own master and learn about his attributes.